Praise the Lord. I'm excited for us to be together. I pray that your ears in your spirit are opened. These ones can be closed, but if the spiritual ones are open, then it's okay. And then the mouth, the physical one, is shut. Not the spiritual one, the physical one. Praise the living God. So smile, irrespective of the weather. I'm glad that you're the ones who have weathered the weather and decided to come, just like I weathered the weather and decided to come. Praise the Lord. Married couples say amen. Praise the living God. Anyway, there's something I want to share, and the Spirit of the Lord wants you to have and to understand in this season. And if you flow with me, we'll start this week and then go into the next week, and we'll see how far the Lord takes us. Praise the Lord. If you understood what the Lord is doing in this season and this time, as a church, not only in Uganda, but in the world, you'd have reason to be excited, but also reason to be worried, because you have a pivotal role to play in this generation and in this time. Praise the Lord. Now, if you understood the eternal implications of what is happening right now, you will understand the heart of the apostle. If you understood the eternal implications of what's happening in the time that we're in now, you would understand the heart of an apostle. If you understood what is to come and what we're heading to, you'd understand the heart of a prophet, the burden that is placed on a prophet. If you understood the destiny of the lost in detail, you'd realize the burden of the evangelist. Praise the Lord. If you knew what the enemy was inflicting on the souls of men, you would understand the heart of a pastor. And finally, if you understood that the greatest weapon the enemy has against you is the weapon of ignorance, you would understand the burden of the teacher. Praise the Lord. Because since I'm a teaching anointing, there's a teaching anointing upon me, my greatest burden is to expel ignorance, especially spiritual ignorance. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. And so what I need you to understand is that there are, in this time, and in the life of a Christian, there are what I call shiftings, movements, transitions, progressions, transformations, praise the Lord, that take place in the life of a Christian. There are movements, progressions, transitions, shifts that happen in the life of a Christian that enable God to get a person from a place that is destitute, to a place where that person wears a crown. And when I say wearing a crown, is not after this life. I'm talking about wearing what the Bible refers to as an incorruptible crown in this life. There are transitions. Okay? Praise the Lord. And I want to show you, this week and next week, the transitions that the Lord would have taken you through. Because in these transitions that I'm going to talk about, these movements, these shifts, what happens is that some people reach a place and die. They camp in an area and die there. They live their lives, go to heaven, having camped in a place that God did not desire for them to stay in. So when God shifts a person from one place to another, know that he never expects you to stay there. He's always moving forward. Praise the Lord. And so there are shiftings, there are movements that happen in the life of a Christian. If you understood, as many of us were before we gave our lives to Christ, if you are from a family that is not inclined to spirituality, many people here, because this is a quote-unquote Christian nation, and I'll say quote-unquote because a nation is not Christian because most of the people are Christian. You understand? A nation is Christian based on, number one, the alignment of the head Because the anointing flows from the head. So you could then say that irrespective of the number of Christians in Tanzania, when the President Magufuli was in charge, it was a Christian nation. You get what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And so, depending on the family that you came from, my family was not so spiritually aligned. If you are blessed enough to come from a family that is spiritually aligned, then this might not apply to you, may or may not. Because usually pastors' kids can be wayward. Eh? Some of you know, eh? But there are some who are not wayward. Now, I came from a family that is not spiritually aligned. We were Christians. So we read our Bible, prayed every day. You understand? And that's just about it. But the world that I understood, and you must understand that there are many people out there who fall in this category. People who do not know God the way we know Him, or most of us know Him. Out there in this world, there are people who wake up every morning, go to sleep every night, not knowing that there are more spirits on this earth than there are human beings. Out there, and even within that church, there are people who do not realize that not every sickness can be sorted by a pill. Out there, I'm telling you, there are people who do not realize that if there is poverty in the house, it is not because someone is not working hard. It is possible for poverty to be in a house because someone in the lineage of the family told the spirit, come. Because the Bible says, the earth have I given to men, to children of men. It says the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to God, the Lord. But the earth have I given to children of men. That means there's an authority that men have on this earth. A spirit cannot enter a family without someone in that lineage having said, enter. In the same way, a spirit cannot live without someone in that lineage saying, get out. Praise the Lord. And yet there are people out there who, oblivious of this, it's a deep ignorance that covers the world. The Bible refers to it as a darkness. There are people out there who actually believe that the darkest thing there can be is a solar eclipse. And yet there's a darkness that is invisible. Deep darkness. The Bible says, what is it in Isaiah? It says, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. Okay? Now, you must understand that there are people out there totally oblivious of what's happening. They don't know that there is an actual enemy tiptoeing around them and causing or trying to ensure that he affects their destiny as much as he can. And so when many of us were not Christians, we're not spiritually aligned, we did not understand what was going on, we lived life like that, oblivious of what's happening around us, totally oblivious. And so they ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I wanted to be an astronaut. How far that's going, I don't know, eh? So I wanted to be an astronaut. There's a time I wanted to be an FBI agent. Don't laugh, some of you, if I called you out. So at that time, all you have are natural goals that have been placed before you. And yet there are spiritual goals. There is a purpose that has been placed deep inside your spirit in which as a being that you've never seen, an invisible being that the Bible refers to as the Father of Spirits, brought you here for a reason and brought you here for a purpose to fulfill, but you're totally clueless about it. And so I remember back when I was at school, because the people who, when you're in that category of darkness, it's gross darkness, you're living life to eat, drink, be merry, and leave the earth. And so you get yourself in debates, but does God really exist? And say, have you ever seen the devil? Some people have seen the devil. And you say, have you ever seen the devil? How did he look like? When you say he had horns. By the way, that's not how the devil looks like. You know that, eh? Huh? And you say he had horns and so on and so forth. And it looks, nowadays people laugh at this. It looks like it's just made up fantasy. And yet, if your eyes were opened, I remember one time I was with some guys, one of them is not here. They were driving me home in 2018, and I saw a spirit cross the road, a demon, at night, must have been around 9 p.m. And I said, a demon has just crossed the road. The guy, yeah? Where is it? Flashing lights. As if the lights somehow can show a spiritual being. Yeah? Praise the Lord. And so there was that level of darkness where, and I want you to understand, this is what we want to expel you from, because I'm yet to explain the first transition that God gets you into in order to get you, in order to, for it to be the first step towards wearing your crown. That level of ignorance takes place depending on where you were born, because the Bible says the boundaries of your habitation were chosen before the foundations of the earth. So you are Munyankole because God saw that being a Munyankole was efficient for you to fulfill your destiny. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You don't go to America and start changing your accent. The Lord made you a Munyankole for a reason. And so the boundaries of where you were determined at that point what you knew and how you treated things. All right? There were people in school who are stupid. I'm going to use the word stupid because that's what we use. Because who are dumb. Not because they couldn't understand, but because there was a spirit upon them. I'm telling you. But we didn't know. We just say, now look at that guy, stupid guy. Hey, there were people who are clever. Not because they read a lot, but because there was a spirit upon them. Because some grandmother, before she passed away, said, when my grandson comes, I speak intelligence. And you know that words are spirit by someone who knows exactly how to make them spirit. They can travel through a bloodline and land on some chap. Boop! Just like, I remember I used to fear when my wife was about to give birth. I used to fear that some ancestor's nose would end up on my daughter. Eh? I said, bind. But these things can travel. You guys. Eh? When she came out, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. So you laugh now. Eh? I'm telling you, you look around at the present family members and you don't see this nose. And you ask, where did this nose come from? Some chap those ends. That aside. So I remember when I just got born again, when I went to school in my S1, I just got born again. And this is the first transition that happens. You meet the chief spirit. When you give your life to Christ, that spirit appears before you. You might not see the spirit. Huh? But something happens in the body of a man. It's a healing that takes place inside the spirit of a man. Most of you don't feel it. Most of you don't see it. Most of you don't hear anything. Just say, I receive you, Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you don't confess sin. You confess the Lord Jesus. Then you shall be saved. Because the focus of God when bringing you into his kingdom is not sin, it's his son. You understand? And so when you confess, for many of you, nothing might have happened. And yet what you don't know, that one of the most powerful things that could ever happen to a human being, it's called regeneration. Your spirit takes on a new life. When it takes on a new life, the capabilities of you at that moment, if only you knew. And so it becomes sad for someone having been born again 10, 15 years and still acting like they're not yet having received Jesus. And yet the capabilities of an open spirit, a spirit that has been joined with the Spirit of God, the capabilities, we shall talk about them. And so I received Jesus. That's the first transition. The Spirit appears before you. He comes into your heart and a healing takes place. Because before that, the Bible says in Romans 5:14, that death reigned from Adam to Moses. It reigned. And it says, even over them that did not sin in the similitude of Adam. So death reigned. Before you became a Christian, you thought death, you talked death, What else? You smell death. And not death in the way that you think about it. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So everything around your world had a form of godliness but denied its power. And so you could successfully start a business. And it's in from the physical perspective, it is a successful business. But from the spiritual perspective, it's dead. Why? Because that business impact does not trickle into the eternal realm. It's just here. And so when a person, having not received the Spirit of God, enters that realm, having been successful here on earth, they'll go there and find absolutely nothing that replicates what they did on earth. Because when the Spirit of God is added to something natural here on earth, it builds an eternal thing in the Spirit. That's how, by the way, when we talk about it, that's how, by utilizing resources here on earth, you can build resources in the Spirit and draw from those resources in the Spirit to impact things here on earth. But we'll get to that. So, you give your life to Jesus, a healing takes place. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. The first thing that gets healed is your sight. The first thing. And I'm not talking about seeing angels and demons. No. Because most of you, I'm sure, when you gave your life to Jesus, most of you probably saw nothing. Huh? They just had to convince you that you're actually... Huh? And you start... Still the same. They had to convince you that you're actually born again. The first thing that happens is that your sight changes. Now, this is important. It's sight at a very, very low degree, but it's spiritual sight. Because the moment you give your life to Christ, having aligned yourself to the knowledge of Scripture, the little Scripture that you know, what will happen is that the first thing that happens is that you become judgmental. In other words, it's as if for you haven't been seeing that everything around you was wrong. You understand that there was something wrong with your world. Before that, you weren't seeing it. Now you see it, so you start, why is she dressing like that? You guys, stop smoking. You guys, you will go to hell. You guys, can you imagine? That guy is a thief. Because at a lower level, your eyes have opened to the alignment of what world, the world was supposed to be before sin. So you start, it's almost a default setting. You become judgmental. Now, the sad thing is that there are Christians who stay there. You know that? Totally stay there. They camp on the first level and never leave. So their entire life is judging. And yet I want you to understand that there is actually a place, according to Scripture, where a man can grow in God and have access to righteous judgment. So that means when he looks at you and says this, God says, well done, my son. Because the Bible says, he that is spiritual judges all. But when you're just God born again, you're not yet there. So you're judgmental. You become judgmental. And so the first thing that the Lord does is that he tries to change that sight. When a person moves from that place of judgment, they find themselves, their eyes having opened to the grace of God. So now what happens is that when you look at someone, you realize that though they are doing that, I was once there. And you realize that the only reason you're here is because even though I wasn't looking for him, he looked. So, and you see, men can actually grow in that grace to the point where liars, thieves, cheats can be around them. And they're okay with it. And I know what I'm talking about. I've been with people, the people I know, I look at you, I know you're a liar. I know that the moment you leave me, you go the other side and say something totally different. But when I meet you, I will never treat you differently. Because I've learned to see as God sees. Very few Christians reach that place. Very, very few. It's the reason why Jesus can have a Judas and walk with him from day one knowing he's going to betray him and even give him a treasury bag. I had a chap who came to me and said, but Jesus was not serious. So at 12 years old, you know you're supposed to be at your father's business. Then you call disciples and you even know the chap that you're going to call is a what? He's a betrayer and he has a problem with money. And you go and you say, follow me. And he follows you and you get your treasury basket and say, take care of this. And then he betrays you. I wonder if Jesus, he wasn't surprised. Because he was seated at the table with the chap and he said, meanwhile, that scenario just doesn't make sense to me. Whoever I give this to is the one who's going to betray me. And the room doesn't say, oh! That thing still messes me up. The guy takes the piece, they've given it to him, he gets up and says, I'll be back, yo. And still these disciples could not understand what was going on. Okay. That's a blindness of another level. And you know, scripture says, do you know that when Jesus was speaking, the Bible says that when they're sitting around the table, Jesus says, the Bible says, and the devil entered into Judas, the heart of Judas. Then Jesus stands and says, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. He's not talking to Judas. You understand? Eh? He's talking to the thing that is in him. And the thing, of course, takes. Now, imagine if you had that capacity to know who was going to betray you beforehand. Some of you. Anyway, so the Lord puts you at that level and tries to change your eyesight, tries to change how you see things from that very minimal place to start to see the grace. That's why the angels of the Lord, when they sing in heaven, they say the earth is full of his glory. And surely, yet the other scripture says darkness has covered the earth. Because when you're in the presence of God, you see differently from everyone else. Especially when you look at people. Praise the Lord. I remember back when I was in school, and I just got born again. I've told this before. I had a couple of friends, very gifted, even at that stage. My S1, S2. One had a healing gift. One had a prophetic gift. Another had a strong leadership gift. And I had no idea what I had. And so I never told my friends back then, but I had a very low self-esteem. Very low self-esteem. Because I used to feel like in church and in school generally, there was nothing that made me stand out. And so I remember we used to go for these overnight prayers in the classes. And we would pray the whole night. And because I was not very efficient in prayer like other people were, I would just get a desk, put my head down, and say one thing, use me, Lord. And I used to say that, and then I would sleep off. And I used to say that every single time. They had to wake me up that it was morning time. Eh? Because I didn't know how to pray. I was, when it came to, some of you know what I'm talking about. Eh? When it came to prayer, I did not know the mechanisms that make a man enter the presence of the Lord. So I would try. I say, Father, are you there? I don't know what these other guys are saying, but use me. So every week, that was my prayer. For about S1, S2, S3, I struggled to learn how to pray. I would just say, use me, Lord. Use me. And I remember, I actually believe those prayers that I made, as simple as they were, shaped who I am today. Because the people who were praying loud that day are not even in ministry. They're not even, most of them are not even Christians. When you have just come to Christ, there is this thing, the Bible refers to it in Revelation chapter 2, 4 to 5. Jesus refers to it as the first love. Huh? And at first I used to think that first love means you've forgotten your first love with God. No, it's referring to a type of love. A type of love that a person initially has. You know, okay, let me use your language. When you see that guy or girl that you like, eh, and you can't sleep, eh, that first love, eh? That one, yeah? But this one is different. And it says, Revelations 2, 4 to 5. Give it to me. Quick. Revelations 2, 4 to 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. This is against the church of Ephesus. Because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. It says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, candlestick there is, okay, we'll leave it. But there is a first love that initially a person has. I remember we used to pray the whole night. Okay, some of us would sleep. We pray the whole night. You believed that according to scripture, the dead can be raised. So you go and you say, get up. Nothing happens, but you believe that it can happen. That first love, that initial first love. Now, all that was a zeal absent of knowledge. Because everything that we were trying to do, once in a while there was a miracle here and there. It's almost like that pool of... where once in a while something gets stirred up, eh? But it doesn't mean that God is there. Once in a while something gets stirred up. So it's possible for you through first love to do miracles, to tap into things by first love. Eh? But the thing with that area, that level, is that everything that you're doing is burning, is coming out of zeal, but you don't know the workings thereof. So if someone got healed, and tomorrow I told you to come and do it again, and the person doesn't get healed, you'd ask yourself if you backslid. Because there are mechanisms to creating results in the spirit. But that's the first stage. So what happens is, you start from there. You have an introduction to the Lord. You have a first love. You have a zeal. You do everything you can. Many of you have been there. Some people camp and stay there. All night, I went to Prayer Mountain, eh? Mosquitoes bit me from that area. And I don't even remember the prayers I made. Some people actually are better than me because when they go there, they know the prayers they made. For me, I was just like, Lord. You know, because people have said, let's go. And so you start targeting clubs, targeting, you know, things that you... A zeal absent of knowledge. Now, when you've left that stage, the next most important thing that the Lord takes you through is to bring you to a place where he wants you to be aware of a man. Now I'm going to be, this is very important. When the Lord sees that there's a lot of jumping around, huh? You're a child of God, you love him, but everything that you're doing is just haphazard. You go to fellowship, maybe some people go for plot. Huh? Some people because there's a particular girl or guy they see there. Some people because, well, they have nothing else to do. Everyone has a reason why they go. So what the Lord does is that he gets a man and puts them in front of you. That's the next stage. So that man or woman or woman of God is then the pattern you must follow. This is very, very important. So God brings a man before you. Now, this is where most Christians find themselves in a bit of a mix. Because when God brings a man before you, a person that you should follow, it's not a necessity that everyone else has to find that man relevant. This is very, very important. I can even dwell here. Let me even dwell here. Listen, when God brings a man and says, Daniel, now that you're born again, follow this one. What happens is that the scripture that says deep calleth unto deep becomes evident at that time. You know, you can know the capacity of your spirit based on the depth you listen to. Because deep only calls unto... You're with me? And so because not everyone has the same capacity, not everyone will find your man of God relevant. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, there's the natural instinct, and I have to say this, there's a natural instinct for the Christian when he has found something relevant in a place to succumb, like in scripture, Andrew did to, what did he do? To Peter? And said, come, we have found the man. There's that natural instinct. Without the understanding that to the person that you find shallow, this person might find them deep. You getting? Because there are stages in life. And God will bring particular people to lead particular people in life. Now, I want you to understand this. That God can grow an anointing to affect the entire world. But there is no one anointing where everybody is supposed to submit. I'll tell you why. Because there are lineages in the spirit. There's a lineage of Peter. There's a lineage of Paul. This is very important. Very, very important. And so, God can bring a man or woman of God, place them before you, so that you might follow that man as you follow Christ. But the end, therefore, is not for you to follow the man. That's a means. It's not the end. The end is Ephesians 5:1. Follow God. Are you with me? That does not negate the role of the person before you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Praise the Lord. And so God will put a man before you. Now the aim of that man is for you to have a pattern that you might follow therefore. Now the thing is this. If that man or woman of God that you're following does not have or does not seek God and hunger for deeper things, if your hunger is deeper than his, you will find him irrelevant at a certain point. And it's not because he has backslidden. It's not because, no. His time in your life, and it happens. Yes? Now here comes a problem. Because when someone's time in your life is over, and you try to leave, if he's not mature and he has not seen that his role is over, he'll try to keep you. Can I touch this? Field is a dangerous ground. So, I as a man of God, what will happen is, and by the way, it's out of good intention. Because if you've been under me for all this time, and I've nurtured you, it's very easy for the care that I have for you to get worried because I don't know where you're going. And so I try to keep you. And not knowing that in keeping it is possible, I am limiting your progress. Now this doesn't happen because there are people, we'll teach on this, there is a way to leave a ministry. A really spiritual, biblical way to leave a ministry, especially if you have been serving. I know a couple of friends of mine who left previous ministries elsewhere in a rebellious manner. And they started their ministries. But what happens in the spirit is that you're starting the ministry on a foundation of rebellion. And so what will happen is what you did will happen to you. Praise the Lord. So God puts a man. Now, there are people, if you're graced enough, there are people that you'll find if by the grace of God you land upon a person who is always hungering for a deeper thing in God, the chances of you finding him irrelevant are very narrow. Very, very narrow. And it's a temptation for children of God, not just men of God, when they reach a certain place to say, I've arrived. To say. And that's why, even as you follow an anointing, you must understand that there must be a personal relationship you have with God, because that anointing is not your God. Yes? God can work through an anointing, but the anointing is not your God. Because this is the thing that I'm talking, some people might find this obvious, but I think someone needs to hear this. You see, the truth of the fact is this. As men of God and women of God, we are very blessed in a way that if you don't spend time with me, and you see me coming up here ministering and preaching and go home and you only see me the next Friday, it's easy to develop a perfection complex. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I become like a second God if you're not mature. And yet, someone came to me and said, but Rabbi, do you get angry? Do you know when Man United is losing? If you want to know that Elijah was a man just like us, you want to know, when Man United, I just get the cup, throw it down, my wife says, man of God. Oh my God! When you see me like that, then you see me coming up to preach, you say, yeah, surely God uses men. Yeah? Praise the Lord. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what's wrong with this Manchester United. You know, at least nowadays we're winning. So, God will put an anointing before you because deep calls unto very, 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 very important. And you see what will happen is that there almost in essence, because there are different anointings all over the world and there are different ways that God is operating, not everyone will see the way your anointing sees. Not everyone. And what I need you to understand is that the most important thing is for you to know the move of God in a season, globally. When you know the move of God in a season globally, you can limit the anointings you can sit under. Huh? Because there are people just doing their own things. Huh? People just doing their own things. They think it's one of my biggest fears has always been to just come here and be a pulpit preacher. I don't like that thing. I don't like just coming here. Just you're like parroting. Every Friday. And you come, attend, lift up your hands, go back. Come, attend, lift up your hands, go back. It nags me. My aim and the aim of every anointing is to transfer tools. So those tools will equip you for ministry. And so if I've ministered something that I feel is heavy on my heart and is a burden in my spirit, and I see you just, you see the person just doing, just putting their hands on them, on their chin and waiting for prophecy. You know, I go home, it's a burden to me. I feel like, Lord, I want these people to be, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready at all times to give a reason as to why you believe. And that reason is not explaining. Now you see Jesus. No, he died on the cross. No. No. It's a manifestation where a person looks at your life and say, how do you do it, Daniel? And say, come, I give you a reason why I believe. You see this house? I was broke. You see this wife? I couldn't vibe. I was telling someone yesterday, came to visit. I told the person yesterday that we need to go away from religion. Back those days, we had this mindset that when you're singing certain songs, that they're demonic. Eh? We see demons in everything. So some of us refused to use the internet because WWW stood for 666. You laugh. Some of you are there. You are there. It stood for 666. And for some people, for some of us, everyone, when they were playing music in Dunkey, what? You'll say, I can't. Which is okay, because I was amongst such people. But then until you grow in the spirit and you begin to realize that when it's Valentine's Day, I do not sing Realm of Your Glory. Huh? I can't approach and say, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. You get your radio and say, when a man loves a woman. Are you with me? This is a straight song. Some of you may be offended by what I'm saying. Don't be offended. Huh? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You don't go on honeymoon night and say, this is the realm of your glory. No. Be serious. And you find out from there that the song that you used to call demonic now has a use. I should end. You put religious context in everything. Demon this, demon this, demon this, demon this. You know that people who actually see demons never go around saying demons this. They just deal with it.
Yeah.
It's the ones who can't see. Eh? That are like, man, there's a demon there, there's a demon here, there's a demon. Some of these songs have uses. You will see. If you haven't seen already, praise the Lord. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Give it to me. Galatians 4, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. What this scripture is saying is that the moment you give your life to Christ, you are automatically an heir, but you're a servant. You give your life to Christ, you're an heir. And he says, as long as he's a child, so you're a baby, you differeth nothing from a servant, though you be Lord of all. Verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of a father. That time appointed is maturity. Now, next verse, verse 3. Give me verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, the elements of the world are this. Poverty, name them, sickness, anything. So what happens is that even when you're born, this is the reason why a Christian, even with the Spirit of God in him, can still be sick. Because as long as he's a child, he's under bondage of those elements of the world until he matures and takes control of those elements. This is the reason why poverty can be in a house. It's the reason why someone can be sick. It's the reason why... And you see, the thing is this. People don't realize that the day you give your life to Christ, you have automatically made certain things in your life never come easy. Automatically. The enemy says, aha! There are two things that do this. Giving your life to Christ, and second, the finances that you get from whatever you're doing, you put them back in ministry. The devil sees what you're doing as also ministry. And I've noticed that most people, when they start to efficiently start giving to ministry, their businesses start to have problems.
Yeah.
And it's not because of anything else other than there is no difference between the ministry you're giving and the work that you're doing. The devil sees them as the same thing. In fact, you're an apostle, you're a teacher, you're what, except in your area. And I've taught this before, that a person can be apostolic in the area of business. A person can be prophetic in the area of writing. It's just because you're not a fivefold person, but you're inclined to one of them. And so, what happens is, the moment you take the notion that what I'm doing is ministry, that my light is supposed to shine, the enemy says, watcha. And so, if you do not know the elements, or the abilities, or the weapons that you can use to disarm him, you will always think, like some Christians do, that you're wasting time putting money there. Wasting time. Why? These pastors steal our money. Hey, those things. So if you are giving, there would be a result. The day you gave your life to Christ and the day you decided that your what you do will further the kingdom of God, the enemy made you a target. And so you can't just go for a job interview just like that and think, I'm a child of God. I'm going to stroll in. And I was telling specific people, you must learn to be a spy. How do you go into a company and announce you're a born-again Christian at the interview, thinking that will get you in? Not everyone in the panel has a Holy Spirit. Some of them have another one. I said, for some reason, I don't want this one. No, no. Then you go back, but I sowed. Because you must learn the weapons of warfare that you have at your disposal. One of them is being concealed. By the time they realize you're in, by the time they promoted you, you're on top. You already, hey, they say, what? You are a born again Christian now that I'm in charge. Praise the Lord. The heir, as long as he's a child, differeth not from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He becomes, he's bonded to the elements of the world. They dictate his life. That's why Christians are like that. Some Christians. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. We're going to up to verse 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child. So there's a language a child speaks, a spiritual child. There's an actual language. I'll give you an example out of them. Rabbi, where is God? Baby. Baby. Baby, baby, baby. Hmm? That one is the number, actually it's one of the number ones. Some of you know it. Baby, change that language. How can a God that is omnipresent, how can you ask where he is? There is a language of a child. He says, I understood as a child. There's an understanding of a child. There are things we can say here, and you understand it as a child. Then he says, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That means God doesn't help you. Huh? You must intentionally say, cut this childish thing. That means there are things of the spirit that a person must be intentional about. Your man of God cannot do everything for you, even if he releases. It will just be there around you, and spirits who you're passing by them, they're seeing the glory on you, eh? And you're walking, but you're asking yourself, Rabbi, why are things working? Why are things working? Why are things? Because you must be intentional. Next verse, verse 12. Says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now this is important, because what it's saying is that there are things that happen in your life that you will see like a reflection. You're not seeing their true selves. So for example, you started a business, it collapsed. Or you tried to start one, collapsed. We prophesied your marriage, 2 months later, it's falling apart. It says, you see through a glass, darkly. You're not seeing it right. Then it says, then shall you see face to face. It's not referring to the day you die. Eh? It's referring to a time of maturity. Now, what does that mean? It's saying that you will stop seeing things as a reflection. When you turn to see them, you will see yourself. Now, this is important. Because when you look through something you're going through, you will understand how it is relevant to you. Then, face to face. That's what that scripture is. But then I shall know, even as I am known. There's a knowledge that you have about yourself that is incomplete. Because someone knows something about you that you do not know. You don't know. So there's more to you than being good looking, being pretty, dressing nice, the job that you have, who your parents are, all that is very physical. There is an identity that demons fear. And once that identity begins to come out, that's when we can say a person is on their way to wearing a crown. Now, I've just explained two things. The first thing I said, you give your life to Christ. The next thing is that the Lord now brings a man into your life, or a woman of God, and says, follow these ones. When you're walking with them, you begin to ask questions that are relevant. Please learn to ask relevant questions. Man of God, how do you pray? How do you pray? Huh? How do you pray? I remember, man, if I remember the nights I used to go in the corner somewhere and just say, use me, Lord. Use me. I didn't know anything else. I would say, yes, use me. And I would see other guys. You'd wonder, what are they saying? What is someone saying for hours? At what point did they listen to God? Those are questions I used to have. When God has transitioned you from a place where he has an introduction with you, he brings you then to a place of, he introduces a man. The next important place is a place of identity. This one, extremely, extremely, extremely important. Because it has to do with the grace that lies upon your life. It has to do with your spiritual lineage. Because once you know what lineage is on you, what spirit is on you, Peter, Paul, Joseph, once you know that, it's easy to know what attack is coming. Because to every Solomon, I said to every Solomon, huh? Hey, you know the weakness that comes. And so to every Peter, there's a pride. And so that's why the Bible then says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant of them by chance. We're ignorant of them by knowing the spirit that is upon them, upon us. And so we know how he's coming. There's a guy I sat with some time back. I explained to him, I sat with him and I saw the spirit of Job upon him. And like he just came, he sat and I said, I'm seeing the spirit of Job. And he says, oh, my spiritual father picked me out and said, there's a Job anointing on you. So without telling me, I told him, you've lost a child. He said, yes, my wife had a miscarriage. He said, you were kicked out of your house. I'm not even trying to be prophetic. You understand? You were kicked out of her house. Yes, yes, man of God, how did you know? Ah, cha, cha, cha. You started a business, it failed. What? I said, the good thing is that there is double for your trouble. Guy got twins. Now, you need to understand. I wish he was here. I don't see him. You need to understand, that once you know what is upon you, you will not only know why something is coming, you will know the end. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The identity is extremely crucial. We have people here walking around with a Solomon anointing. Well, yeah, Solomon, Solomon. And you see what happens is, if you look through history, most people who had a healing anointing upon them usually fell sick. Most people who have, most people who have a wealth anointing, poverty has made a home in their pockets. Now, I don't want you to conclude, because someone will say, that's why I have Solomon. Checho, nina Solomon. Please, that's not what I've said. Yeah? Because I've taught some of my partners that the wealth anointing is not only Solomon. There's Zacchaeus, there's Boaz, there's the different wealth anointings, each with different results. So if you know what lies upon you, what lies within your identity, if you know that, you know, there's a point where you've sharpened your gift so much, you don't have to beg people to come. They are magnetized to a gift, because gifts, the Bible says, it opens a door for you and ushers you into the presence of kings. That means you must refine your gift. When I meet people, someone says, Rabbi, I have a few likes on Facebook. Who told you that likes determine the potency of a gift? Who told you? Who told you? In this room, as I conclude, in this room and in every ministry, there are two categories of people. There are people who God has directed to the man of God. Then there are people who God has directed the man of God to play his part. The ability for both the man of God and the congregation to know the difference is important. Very, very important. Because the identity of a person, the growth and the levels that the Lord takes you through, are very determinant on seasons. Knowing when a time has come and when a time has ended. You can camp somewhere you are supposed to have left long ago. Praise the Lord. Amen. When God brings you to an anointing of either of those categories, the aim is that the entrance of his word might bring light. That is the aim. Nothing else. The aim is that the entrance of that word might bring light. When it brings light, I'm going ahead of myself, but when it brings light, there are things you're supposed to do to ensure that the word moves from a stage of a seed to a stage where it is hidden. Because scripture says, thy word have I hidden. When a word is hidden in the heart of a person, even when they're not thinking about it, it works for them. Very few people have words hidden. Many have words in the mind. There is a way to do that. Once God has nurtured your identity, once He has nurtured it, you've honed your skills, opened up your giftings. And I always tell people, learn to yap what you're good at. I'm not saying through pride. I'm saying, man, I'm starting up a events management thing. You wait, you will see. It's amazing. You don't know which destiny helper you're opening up. Say you have an events management on a Facebook page. But you just say, hey, but there's this person I know who has an events management, because God puts your answers right around you. Right around you. Praise the Lord. Once God has nurtured that identity in you and that gifting, then the next stage He does is to teach you to interpret life. Once you learn to interpret life, no one can stop you. No one. No one. One day, I sat with one of my people here, and I was telling them, there was a lady, guys were approaching her, fake guys. I use these examples because you remember them easily. Fake chaps, naenga bali na cent. And they had money. Every day, they crab by, me, I just want the real one. I'm tired of these guys. Then I told her, I sat her down, I said, open your eyes. I said, what do you mean? He said, not everything negative is by the devil. And at that time, this person wanted to start a particular business, but could not find funding. God is bringing funders. Now some of you are offended. Some of you are offended, I'm honestly telling you, God can work in mysterious ways. God has brought, because in this particular scenario, I saw it by the Spirit. Please, not everyone is, don't misquote me, eh? But, so in this particular case, God brought funders. Each had love. You leave your money, I don't want your money. I said, go back. Dear daughter, you go back to those boys right now. I said, thank you so much. And then bring tithe. Anyway, what interestingly happened is that after she had put up her business, this guy's love died. They just... That's why you must have a discerning spirit, because you can get from a chap and he stays. Then he started, the devil has tricked me. Oh. Oh my, what someone is this, my God? So, be careful about your prayers, because if you listen, Father, give me funding. All of a sudden, rich guys. Meanwhile, before they were broke guys. But now, they are rich guys. I say, something, there's like a glory that has just opened up. The season has come. I say, thank you, Lord. But you must discern. Once you learn to interpret life rightly, once you learn to interpret it, you will be unstoppable. And that's the prayer you must learn to pray. Open my eyes that I might see you. That I might see you. Because not everything around you is a darkness. Some things are orchestrated by God. There's a quote I learned years back, and I love it till this day. It said, my world was being shaken, and I ran to God for help, only to realize He was the one shaking it. Sometimes to get you to wake up, God will shake your world. Because I'm telling you, I'm tired of meeting Christians who are kumbaya Christians, waiting for the day that they die and go to heaven. And yet there's an impact here that can be eternal. If I could just get like a row, listen, every row here, to get up, and you see, and your light starts shining in your area at an initial stage, then you start magnetizing things, because moths come around light, not around darkness. And once things get magnetized around you, you begin to realize the secrets of this world to success as a Christian are not the same principles as those of the world, although you can use the principles of the world, because you will always need a spirit added. Added. When I was working at URA, I've told this before, I walked in and I was tired of going to places of work where I was always preaching. So I walked in and tried to hide who I was. Until one day, we had morning prayers and a lady said, can you come and give us a word? You know, I don't know how to explain it. You know someone who loves chocolate, eh? And they've been avoiding chocolate for so long. And then you come and you say, taste one, come on. Just one. That's what they had put me in. So I was like, no, I can't. No, please, don't be shy. Don't be shy. I went up, and you know, once you put me in my element, we'll talk about mastery. You can master something so well that when you try to fail at it, you even fail at failing it. You know that? There's a basketballer called Larry Bird, one of the greatest basketballers. In an advert, he had to shoot 10 free throws, 3-pointers, and miss one. But to miss the one was a problem. He had to hit the rim and it comes off. But he kept on going. And he's like, I don't know how to. That's what mastery does. You know, where you stand in your element. And even me, I stood there and I tried to lie. I tried to pretend like I don't know Bible. But when I would quote a scripture, it just. That's when the room said, you've been with us for 3 weeks. And you're just here watching us preaching our gospel. I said, yes, it was paining me, but. So I stood up and I ministered. That's what mastery does. And because the end point is where you know the work. We're going to talk about it next week, where God wants you to get to a place where you learn the workings of things. You learn the workings of healing. You learn the working of forgiveness. You learn the working of finances, the working of it, not the theory. The actual working of a thing. So that you know exactly what to do in a situation. Instead of sending messages in the middle of the night, Rabbi, are you awake? And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Am I awake? It's 3 a.m. I thought you'd be praying. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to tell you that I'm going through something and I need your help. Couldn't this wait until the morning? Praise the Lord. Masteries. Masteries. There are things, it's the reason why when you know what to do in a situation, you will walk with your head up high. Learn to interpret what's going on. If you know, for example, what's happening around the world now, this war that has broken out, it's a mini war, won't last that long. But when you know that when Ukraine and Russia, for some of you don't know, Ukraine, where is that? When Ukraine and Russia are getting into war, from the physical perspective, men were involved. But from the spiritual perspective, according to the book of Daniel, a bear must have fought a fox and won. For it to replicate in the physical. When you learn to interpret things like that, you will realize there's an excitement that comes to you. Because when the rest of the world is waiting for breaking news, you were there long ago. You come and sit and you say, you see Ukraine? Russia. Say, man of God, go deeper. You'll see. Now, you don't apply it just at that level. You start to apply it even at things within your sphere. You say, you see that fashion to come back again in 3 years. Then you just... What? According to trends, what? Say, kakana. I am in mastery. When you go to business, I told someone that one of the most prominent things about the business anointing is this. That it's not just the ability to prosper in business. The highest place is the ability to see trends before they appear. Why does a child of God under prophetic anointing involved in forex trading have a loss? You understand? If they can sharpen their prophetic and know where to put their money. But they send, Rabbi, someone sent me this. Do you know if Russia is going to attack Ukraine? I say, why? Because, man, if it does, gold is going to fall and I'm finished. I say, but you're prophetic. Tap into it. Imagine if you could tell every high and every low of any economy. Imagine. And imagine that's just one gift. Let's say you're not good at your mother's name is this. Sometimes you don't even need to know someone's mother's name. You just need to know the economy's state. You see. So me, I don't see names of mothers. Now here I see names of economies. I see. America, this is going to happen. You sharpen that one. If you're not good in the prophetic, then sharpen your dream life. When you're going to sleep at night, Lord, show me my enemies. Then you wake up. Ah, James. Pozi yegwe. You see a person long before. You don't know that because you're dealing with people who are spiritual, even in the office, a chap sees you hired and goes to a witch doctor in the night and dances around the fire with your photo. Meanwhile, you come into fellowship and say, realm of your glory, Jesus is good. Someone else is sitting there and says, Lord, tonight, show me my enemies. And you say that, hey, Janet. Back to send. This is the life that we're supposed to have. Do you know that if Christians sharpened their prophetic, there would be no rejections? Imagine, I'm walking to a girl that I like. Then I see a vision. Go away from me. You just... No rejection. Instant. That is the life that a Christian is supposed to have. You're going with your Valentine's gift to just take a corner. Why? Because you saw it in the spirit. Now you need someone to warn you, to tell you, that is not your husband. That is not your wife. The purpose of anointings was to give you tools. If you're dependent on an anointing for too long, you've stayed a child. If you've stayed a child, and this is necessary for you to understand. I'll give you one advice that I think is very crucial. Many people will come to tell you to do things in life. Some of them will be sent by God, some by the enemy. But always from the position that the person is giving you advice, always look at their position and conclude whether you need a second. So for example, how can a person who is broke tell me, no, you should be investing in this? From what position are you telling me? I don't care what you studied. You understand? Because I'm not just looking at your words. I'm looking at the spirit of the position. You understand? If someone tells you, let me tell you, this is how sowing works. But the person who's telling you does it every day and things are not working. There's an element that is missing. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say this. In 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it's 10, verse 12. The Lord says this through Paul. A default where Christians start comparing themselves with themselves. So what happens is, because you love Rabbi so much, you say, ah, that other man of God, Rabbi. And you're doing it out of, you know, like how Peter cut off someone's ear out of passion. It's actually not out of dislike. It's passion for the person you love. But you're hurting someone else. I say, that one, nothing. And Paul is saying here, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, comparing ourselves with some that commend themselves. Or compare ourselves with some, but they measuring themselves by themselves. So in other words, you're saying, you're measuring Rabbi with this man of God, or that man of God with this other man of God, or yourself. Ah, look at her. I'm even better than her. He says, you are not wise. What are you comparing? What are you doing? Because it's God who works in all. Some say they're for Paul, some for Peter, and I have to rebuke people on this. Some for Paul, and so you vehemently, you know, support your it's okay. It's okay. But you do not compare yourselves with yourselves. Because every man has a place in God. And every man has someone who God has said, follow after him as he follows Christ. The moment you can learn that, maturity comes into place. When someone walks up to me and says, Rabbi, my time here is done. I say, I see it is true of the Spirit. Let me lay hands on you. Where are you going? If I see that it's not where the devil is, I will say, it is of the Lord. Go in peace. Please come around, visit us. And you see, we are one. We're going to be in the same heaven. Just different levels, but same heaven. Praise the Lord. I am not competing with other men of God, and they are not competing with me. We all have the same role to equip you for the work of ministry, and you must have the same maturity.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.